With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Hello, 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 dear listeners. Welcome to Must Win Football here in South Bermondsey. Visit of Hull City to the Den. Crucial game, dear listeners. As we know, we've just got four games left in the season now. After that draw up there at Deepdale, Preston North End on Good Friday. Today we have to try and resurrect our playoff promotion push. The Lions today facing some changes, listeners. No Jed Wallace, make of that what you will. The official club tweet says he's injured. Whether he's injured inverted commas is another matter, I don't know. I don't think it's like Jed to take a dive in a game, so we're going to take that at face value. He's out today. That does mean the introduction of Tyler Bury also coming in up front. He's Tom Bradshaw and Jules Savoy in midfield. So your lines 11, let's read them all out in sequence. It's Bart Bielkowski in goal. Back line therefore will be Murray Wallace, Murray D. Dino Wallace, Jake Cooper and Dan Ballard on either side of them, Scott Malone on the left, Danny Mack on the right. In midfield therefore is Jules Savile, Billy Mitch. In front of them will be Tyler Bury, Benny Gafobe and Tom Bradshaw. On the bench this afternoon, listeners, George Long, Sean Hutchinson, Michael Kieftenbell, Oliver Burke, Shea Ojo, Ryan Leonard, George Evans. Decent looking crowd on a sunny, sunny day. Beautiful sunny afternoon in South Bermondsey. Flags are fluttering in the gentle breeze. Hull City, of course, in their Tigers outfit of old gold, is that called? Or is that Wolves? Old gold and black, amber and black. Lions in dark blue and white. Of course, dear listeners. The Lions sit in the 10th spot. 3 points, just 3 points off of 6th spot. Occupied currently by Sheffield United. Albeit three clubs sitting between us and the gold promised lands. Land of milk and honey that is called the end of season tournament, dear listeners. We shall not use its true name like Macbeth. So Mill going to be attacking the away end in the first half in accordance with the teachings of the Venerable Bede in 9th century Jarrow. Laid out chapter and verse in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. Tyler Bury to kick us off, dear listeners. And away we go. Big time, big time football lurks. I was quite struck after the Good Friday results how many teams in the upper tier of the division looking nervous. I suppose the pressure of what's at stake is something else. Mill had a chance, second half chance in the now fabled 54th minute up there at Preston, where we had an opportunity to score that would have won us three valuable points. So in the event, a point is not too bad. Gary Rowett said after the game that it's probably not too bad as long as we win today. I don't think we've got anywhere to go if we don't get 3 points this afternoon, listeners. Bradshaw, I just noticed, there's probably berate me for just noticing this, listeners, but he wears his socks down low, Steve Claridge style. I like it. Although Claridge's were would hang loose, wouldn't they? Whereas Tom Bradshaw looks like he's got a certain style of short sock, like a gym sock, which is interesting. I haven't seen that before. no shin pads, but in that he is at one with the fabled Claridge. Good atmosphere in here, listeners. Reasonably full house, both all the three stands look like they're three quarters plus full up, not quite a sellout. Gentleman on the Hull end obviously drawing some comment. This is, I can't see him, so I can't describe how he actually does look. I get a sense he's carrying a little bit of weight, and he may not be the most likeable of people from drawing that from the chant we just heard. Took him towards the 10th minute. This is the 16th. He finds the 5. There's space. Oh, that's a great save by Bart Bielkowski down low. Wow. Nice 1-2 on the edge of the penalty area. A 5 shot, not with any great power, but fast enough, and Bart had to be down very, very smartly. Almost fumbled it, but managed to keep it at bay. Good save, Bart Bielkowski, 10 minutes in. It's going to be another game, I think, where patience is required. Not our strongest attribute, listeners, at the Den, is it? Patience. 11 minutes in, listeners. Certain sense of tension, I think, around the place. I think that you'll find that, as we've said already, at all of the clubs who are fighting for that magic sixth spot. In comes a corner, left-sided, it's into the near post, it's flicked away. I think that was Ballard again. 16, come to 17 minutes. That's a poor ball. That's Tyler Bury for on goal. He's past the goalkeeper, what can he do? Couldn't beat the last defender there, the 3. Big moment, there was a chance. One of the criticisms of Bart Bielkowski is his distribution, of course. That said, to give it a bit of perspective, we do like a bit of perspective on Acton Millwall listeners, don't we? Bart was giving an interview to the London News online about the Ukrainian conflict, which is obviously on the borderlands of Poland, in effect. Ball in from the right side there, from the 10, that's hoofed clear. And he's saying to London News, he's got family who live in the vicinity of Kaliningrad, which is a Russian enclave in Poland. And his sister is in the military police, so as he puts it here, he's effectively a soldier. So, you know, although Poland not actively involved in the conflict, you do wonder what can happen. So there must be a weight on his mind. I know it would be mine. That's enough perspective. Let's get back to the football. Just one more home game after this, of course, listeners. That's on the 30th of April versus Peterborough. We've got a trip to St Andrews next weekend, 23rd, St George's Day. Ball down the line, it's going to run through to the goalkeeper. 24 minutes. And then the final game of the season after that will be Bournemouth away on May the 7th. The end of the season comes along like the buffers at Charing Cross Station, very quickly, as the Rail Express gets closer and closer to them. So far, it's been a poor game, really. Nothing hugely outstanding. 27 minutes in. Tyler's chance being the big moment, I suppose, of the opening third of the game. So far, I think we've been a little bit predictable in our approach. The long ball, trying to get in behind the whole City defence is great, and I'm not saying don't do that. In comes the corners, I'm waffling. Right side of the corner, that's long, picked up on the left side. But we just look a little bit ball in from the left, that should be cleared, and is, but to no one forward. We look a little bit unable to pick open another difficult-ish side. Well, not hugely difficult, but actually a fairly average side. But the fact that we're struggling to unpick them is probably a comment on the lack of creativity in the middle side. And of course, without Jed Wallace, that's magnified, isn't it? 31 minutes. Incidentally, talking about Pep, some nice comments from Guardiola ahead of their training session. Ahead of the FA Cup semi-final, after their training session, I should say, held at the Den. He did say he'd try and do us a favour. It was said in a way that implied that we might have to do him a favour in a kind of way that I sometimes say I might go and visit some relative I haven't seen for 20 odd years, and I'll have to get down there sometime, you know. The kind of favour that may never come to pass, but has to be said for politeness' sake. lovely bloke making a one-all sign at the, and there's various masturbatory signs at the Hull City end. I don't know what that means. What does 1-1 mean? Just because it's 0-0 at the moment. And a chat, wanker, 1-1. One finger raised on both hands. I don't know what that means, listeners. And so he's being quiet now. I don't know. Maybe be double quiet. I don't know. Nothing tremendously exciting so far, listeners. Nothing to get the crowd into it, which is a problem. We've got a decent crowd in today and they want to get involved, but nothing compulsive being produced by the Millwall side so far. Tom Bradshaw trying to find Scott Maloney, gets it through to Tyler Bury. Nicely done. Danny Mitch feeds it wide right. This is Danny Mack now, 36 minutes. What can Danny do? Puts the ball into the middle. Challenged header. It's going to go looping away. Just out of touch from him. That's going to go for a throw in for Hull City. End of season quality to it, but in the sense of nothing much at stake, listeners. Yeah, Millwall still got some big stakes on the table. You'd think we'd show a touch more urgency. We certainly have lacked imagination, creativity, for me, in the half. And it shows you what a hole Jed Wallace's departure is going to leave for our team. That's Dan Ballard in with a crunching tackle. He's gone down, but he's up again. Ball's into the box. Tom Bradshaw at the far post, headed backwards. Scott Malone tips round. Probably not as much power as Scott Malone wanted on that. The goalkeeper did well to get down to his left-sided corner. 39, comes towards 40 minutes. Another big opportunity there. Let's have a look at it on the screen. It's floated in from the right to Bradshaw, gets it ahead on it. It falls to Bradshaw, volleys it, and the goalkeeper actually does very well to get down low and left. What can we make of the half so far? There's still 3 minutes of it to go, plus any added time. It's got to be said the half has been not quite as, we're not been firing on all cylinders this half. We are missing Jed Wallace. I'd say there's a certain languid quality, the third use of the word languid in one half of football, which has fed through to the crowd. There is a sense of slow motion to us and a predictability. I think that's probably my watchword for the half. All over the top each time. This is Hull City breaking forwards. They've not had any real chances. Touchwood. So we tick towards the 43rd minute. This is the 16, just outside the D, Mill D. Shots over the bar. The Lions so far not quite on it. We just need to find a little bit more incisiveness in the pass. We need a bit more energy. It's just not quite clicking at the moment, listeners. You feel a bit like me when I've had one too many glasses of wine these days. Next morning, not quite, you know, simple things become slightly difficult first thing. You know what you should be doing, but somehow doing them in the right order is not easy. This is Hull City twisting and turning on the right side of our penalty area, still in possession. Backs and forwards, they're passing the ball, that's gone into the defender. Boos! A bit strong for booing, listeners. I've got to say, that wasn't brilliant. It wasn't booable, but it wasn't booable either. There we are. Anyway, half time. I'm going to take you to a conversation I had in the car park just before kickoff today with Acton Millwall listener Logan Cobb, all the way from Los Angeles, California. So I'm going to cut over now to have a listen to Logan and his group.
Achtung, Millwall.
I'm standing in a car park, and it is really weird who you meet staying in a car park in South Bermondsey. I'm going to tell you that much, listeners. I've come across a bunch of Americans come over, and they're the eccentric variety that listen to Achtung Millwall. Logan Cobb, how are you, mate?
I'm well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to finally meet you. I actually hadn't met Logan ever before. I didn't know what you looked like.
Yeah.
So I'm standing by the gate, and I'm asking basically every bloke, are you Logan? Anyone's hanging around there? I thought I was trying to get on the pool, mate. How did you come to be a Millwall fan? How did you come to follow our glorious little club?
Well, it's good to be here, first off, talking to Nick, the podfather, as he's called over here. How does one become a Millwall fan in the U.S.? That's a fantastic question. Yeah, it's so. First thing, we've always had Americans around. In fact, you know, Mr. Burleson, our chairman, owns the pub. It started with Keller, right?
The
keeper, fantastic. Yeah. And you know, we've always kind of had an American
Bruce
in the
Murray,
side.
I seem to remember.
Yeah, Whitbread, Jack Whitbread. So Whitbread. It's come along. And but soccer in the U.S. was hard to come by until the immersion of Fox Soccer Channel. That's a whole other conversation of television rights in the U.S. But Fox Soccer Channel, we moved to a house in 2004 that had that, and that was during the run where this little club from South London was making a run in the FA Cup. And how can you not fall in love?
Absolutely.
First match in person was 2019, that Friday night fixture against Fulham as we were back in the division making a run in the playoffs. Fulham unfortunately bested us that night, but have been just absolutely hooked ever
since. And you follow it on stream on iPhone?
I've had a virtual season ticket for six seasons now, right. Which all the frustrations of it over here multiply that, and that's how it is in the U.S. The only thing that keeps me going is our commentary team. They're fantastic, but that is a struggle. And now we've got this, the new cast thing, whatever. But haven't missed a match in four seasons, viewing wise.
That's fantastic.
But happy to be back in person for the first time since a U23 match in 2019.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now I've got to get a word in with Logan's woman, Molly. I'm taking it. Actually, I'm not presuming that. I might have put together a completely different scenario. Molly.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Hi.
This is an English football match.
Never been. Nope.
It's pretty calm.
Yeah,
there's nothing really. You know, you might hear the odd kind of profanity.
Yeah, that's okay.
But they will be picked up by other members of the crowd.
I hear it in the house when he watches the matches, so it's okay. He hides away from the children so they don't pick it up.
you've picked a must-win game for the Lions today, so no pressure, but we do need a win. So, you know, you're a lucky mascot.
Hopefully we brought some good luck from across the pond. So
We brought the good weather.
You brought some Californian weather, kind of.
Yeah,
maybe deep midwinter in California. And one last word, Evan Parker. How you doing, mate?
I'm excited.
You're excited? Yeah. It's a big game. Big atmosphere is expected. So, unfortunately, we've lost our best player, which is Jed Wallace.
Shame.
Who is injured ahead of a possible transfer sale. Well, he's going to leave for nothing, actually, but it's a big money move for him.
The first time that's happened for him.
He's
injured. So we'll see how we get on today. Listen, guys, it's fantastic.
Thank you.
God bless America.
God bless Millwall.
God bless Millwall. God bless Mr. Berylson, who pays for it.
Thank you for the good.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Lions coming out for second half, dear listeners. Big, big half of football ahead of us. Huge thank you to Logan, to Parker, and to Molly for meeting up with me outside in the car park before the game. I hope you enjoyed that little conversation. It's always astounding to me how we can be heard all over the world. I know it's the internet, but I was brought up in an era before the internet was invented. So the idea that you can be heard and listened to in, last week was Jimmy in Perth and Jimmy Webb and now California and all over the world. It's something that never ceases to quite astound me. We actually do get quite a substantial number of listeners in the USA. I think, I'm speaking off the top of my head, about one-fifth of our listenership is American-based. Obviously, the main bulk of it, I'd say near 80% is UK. There's a fairly big chunk in the US and Australia, which is what you might expect with the Aussies, but not so much perhaps with the US, I don't know, but it's always welcome. Big shout out to all of our American listeners. Do keep in touch with me. I do like to be ahead of the event stateside, and I may even start to develop a pseudo American accent at some point, just out of a sense of a tribute to everyone. So the Lions are going to be kicking off the second half, attacking the Coldblow Lane in accordance with the Anglo-Saxon teachings of the Venerable Bede. I felt the first half we lacked creative spark, far too predictable with some of our tactics, and not enough fire in the belly. Nothing to give the crowd something to chew on. This is what we've got to do in the second half, listeners. If we don't win today, I do think it's the fat lady is singing. Other results may still go our way, but we can't. We're just going to run out of games. after this. Just three games left after the finish of today's match. Hull City, so far a pretty passing side, but nothing very decisive. These words may come back to haunt me as they attack us down the end. Danny does well to draw a free kick there. But nothing decisive from Hull City, no real chances that spring to mind. Our best chances are this shot from Malone springs into my head, and also, of course, that chance where Bury almost found himself through on goal, but the last defender managed to salvage the situation. So we need to create more chances. More chances, one will go in, and that will ignite the den, dear listeners. Jill Saville wins the ball. This is Malone on the left now. Deep. Cross into the middle. It falls to Thoby. Bouncing shot tipped over by the goalkeeper. No power behind the Thoby's shot. It was into the ground, but the goalkeeper had an awkward bounce to deal with. He puts it over the bar. 46 minutes for a right-sided corner. Millwall. In comes the corner. Right side from Scott Malone. It's a deep one. There's a Thoby. Heads it back into the mix. It's bouncing around. Bradshaw just can't quite get anything on the header there. Mitchell collects. Is now back to Malone on the right side. His cross is blocked. 47 minutes. Right start for the Lions. We've still got men forwards. Danny Mack with a deep cross. That's too deep to the goalkeeper. Movement now. This is the 20 on the right side of the little box, well blocked there by Dan Ballard. That's going to go for a right sided corner. Here comes a corner into the mix. That's hits the post. Oh, a miracle save! Wow, it hit the post. Shot from point blank range that somehow Bart has kept out and then into the side netting. Somehow, don't ask me how that happened. Lions not switched on at all in defence, listeners. Could have been another corner. Must have been blocked sideways into the side netting. The Mule really dodged a bullet there. Best chance of the game, really, for Hull City. In we come again. It's a deep one. Bouncing around. It should be cleared by Bennett. It is by Murray Wallace in the end. Deep to nobody. Scott Malone chasing down in the opposition penalty area. He must be given instructions to get forward more. This is now Tyler Bury on the left side. He's got two men on him. Can he get a chance to get something in? He can. He's made a little dribble there. It's ball into the box. It's Billy Mitch. Falls to Malone. It's gone in the net! 1-0 Millwall! Talk about slapdash, but it's gone in the net. Scott Malone's I don't know how much he meant of that shot. I'm going to call it a shot. I'm going to give it dignified. It looked like he's stumbling forwards and somehow it's gone into the left side, in off the post somehow. I don't know how that's happened. We're going to watch it on the screen. More by luck than design, but they all count. There goes Bury. Nice dribble down the left. Let's watch it now. He cuts the ball back. I think he finds Billy Mitch and misses it. Malone in the tackle. It comes off the tackle almost into his shin. It's gone in the net. Lions get a huge dollop slice of good luck. We've literally just missed, dodged a bullet down our end, and now we've got a huge slice of good luck cake. That's got the crowd fired up. There's Danny Mack feeds it into Tom Bradshaw. Lions got to ride that luck. I mean, that was a big, a fluky goal, but we'll take it. But it was a big chance to press forwards now. The Rowett train, is it back on the rails? I thought it was on a go slow in that first half. One for the younger listeners there. A go slower, work to rule. 1970s talk, listeners. No wind out there now. The flags are all hanging very, very limp. Beautiful sunny day though, shadows covering about half the pitch in what is effectively gentle sunshine, listeners. Ball breaks, Tom Bradshaw for on goal. What can he do? Shoot it! Tom Bradshaw! 2-0 Millwall! Heading wide from Benninger Fobe, goes through to Tom Bradshaw, who loves the goalkeeper with a plum, listeners. 55 minutes. 2-0. That's an insurance goal. Let's have a look at it again. Ball lobbed forwards. I think Benik Afoga gets a header to it. Let's have a look at the replay. He does. It's behind the defender. Bradshaw runs on and he just chips it nicely, very nicely over the goalkeeper. 2-0. There's a song we haven't heard for a long time, the EIO song. Well, that settled a few nerves inside the stadium, listeners. Lions taking their time, reforming. That's one of my bugbears, isn't it? It's good for the Gooses, good for the gander. We did take our time there, reforming after the goal, but oh, I forgive them. I forgive us. We don't forgive opposition, we forgive us. It's the rules of the den. Weight Watchers school here in South Bermondsey, dear listeners. Tough love, tough love. 57 minutes. Lions got to keep hold of this lead. This needs a disciplined approach now, listeners. Tom Bradshaw's put a good shift in this afternoon, dear listeners, as we tick towards 60 minutes. Good goal, obviously, well finished. But he's also done a lot of pressing work and just pursuing the ball back. That's going to go back to the goalkeeper, but he's put a real, real effort in there. But a whole city still trying to do this, play their way out of trouble business. There we are. There's the one quarter of the game to go. Lions sitting pretty at the moment, 2 goals ahead. We shouldn't be giving up this situation now, listeners. I know that's famous last words we've said a few times over the course of many, many games this season. But we should not be giving up 2-goal leads, not when we have the riches, the Kublai Khan, El Dorado, Xanadu lurking at the end of the season if we can keep the pressure going. Harry's just sent through as we speak, league table showing us in seventh, as I said already, 65 points behind, just one now position behind Sheffield United. So huge, huge chance here, listeners. Chance for Hull to break now, listeners. It's come over to the left side, 76 minutes. We could do without that nervous last 10 minutes where we're down to one goal, a slender one goal lead. If at all preferable, if at all possible. Ball in now from the right, that's gone for a goal kick. Ball breaks. Jules Saville trying to find the ball through. It falls to Tyler Bury. Just lovely, we've got angled right sided ball. Ball's into the middle, it falls now to Murray Wallace. Oh, is it the crossbar? Who was that? That was Jules Saville, was it? Murray Wallace. On those harum-scarum moments of beautiful ball in from the right side by Danny Mack. It fell to Murray Wallace. Let's have a look at the replay. Lovely ball from Tyler, trying to find Danny Mack. Ball's across the face of the goal. I thought Murray would score there, and that looks like Danny Mack who got that last chance. Let's have a look. Ball skimmed the crossbar, whoever that, it's very hard to see from the replay. By the time you hear this show, listeners, you'll know all about it. You'll be saying, what an idiot, he don't know which Millwall player his team hit the crossbar there. Just reading that Thomas Frank of Brentford and David Moyes are in the house looking at players, presumably. Don't know who. Left-sided corner, 86 minutes, that's into the six-yard zone. Hutchinson gets his head to it. Right. Ball bouncing around. Put in the net for 2-1. Ball fell to the nine. A bit of argy-bargy now as they were trying to get the ball. Slack from Millwall, to be honest with you, to concede, in my opinion. Nine slammed it home with a plum. It wouldn't be Millwall if it was easy, would it, listeners? The ball falls now. Tom Bradshaw is in the penalty area. What can he do? Shot just wide right from distance. Last few seconds of the game now, listeners. a nervy finish, more nervy than we would have wanted. It's been a good second half performance by Millwall. Big, big slice of luck for that first goal from Scott Malone. Nice finish for the second goal from Tom Bradshaw. All was in control, everything hunky-dory until we give away that sloppy late goal for Hull City. But we are now ticking down towards the last few seconds of the game. There it is. Mill win it 2-1. The Rowick train is back on track. When I checked earlier on, Harry sent me through a table showing us in seventh position, listeners. Equal points with Sheffield United. I don't know if that's still so. We have to look at the other results. Really strong win. It was all about the result today. And that was a good second half performance by Mill. Standout players today for me. Tom Bradshaw up goal. I like the look of Dan Ballard in defence. I'm going to make my man of the match. I'm going to make it Bradshaw for his efforts and for his industry for the whole game. We're going to be right back after these messages, dear listeners.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Achtung, Mehlball.
So we're at then, dear listener, on our way to the Surrey Canal Road, where you're not allowed to park anymore because of the darn council. But yeah, it was a squeaky last few minutes of the game. I thought the first half was rather flat, as recent home first halves have been. I thought Hull were awful in parts. We commented a lot around us that they couldn't really control the ball well, they couldn't really trap the ball well, and their first touch let them down and was very heavy a number of times. But I thought we were guilty of not exploiting that, because all you had to do was put pressure on them, and they were cracking when there weren't any pressure on them, let alone imagine if we actually put someone on them who was half decent and could put a bit of pressure so they didn't have much time on the ball. Second half, obviously, a lot better. We did get a stroke of luck via Malone's goal. It was Malone's goal, wasn't it? The stroke of luck. And I think we deserved that. I think, in truth, we all deserved that. We've had a season where we've not had much luck go our way with things like injuries and referees' decisions and all that kind of thing. So to actually get something go our way for once was good. And was happy with that. Bradshaw took his goal really, really well. And even though there was a slight defensive mishap which led to Hull's goal at 2-1, I don't really think we were really under any real threat of conceding, even though I said half tongue in cheek, it was a little bit squeaky bum. I'm back, dear listener, ladies and gentlemen, and all listeners, with Chris from Welling, who we call for GDPR reasons. Chris from Welling, we can only give first names. Chris, what do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, I thought we'd done all right. Second half was much improved. The first half was, well, it was the first half. That's all I can say. There was nothing else to say about the first half. But yeah, second half, I thought we played a lot better. I think, you know, we deserved to go 2-up. Stroke of luck. Obviously, we rode our luck because they hit the post, and then we got the other end and we get the foot of Malone, the lucky bounce, and and then we take over the game, and we could have probably gone on and won it 3-0, maybe even 4. There was chances.
Well, Bury at the bar as well, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, we come close. One thing I will say, though, is that once again, you need to praise Gary Rowett, considering the fact that, you know, we've not had a full squad for the vast majority of the season, and we are now on joint points, isn't it? Just outside goal difference with sixth place, and that is, do you know what, even with a full Millwall squad, you know you'd struggle to finish in the top half of the table. So the fact we're in touching distance of the playoff with a few games to go, and that Rowett train that was stuck at a station with a few train spotters looking at it is now roaring. Do we believe we've got a decent running, dear listener? We've got a decent running in the fact that we've got Birmingham, who are bottom of the table, Peterborough, who probably will go down by the time we've played them, and Bournemouth, who probably will be up, or at least have those playoff places secured by the time that we play them there. So, oh, is it on? Do we dare? Do we dare indeed, Chris from Welling? Do we dare? Do you know what? I bought my ticket. I'm on the train. Sorry, Harry Warren. Mate, I'm on that train. Playoffs, or no, don't say the P word. End of season tournament. Here we are come. Oh, and one final point about Benika Fobe. Not necessarily his best game today in a Millwall shirt. And also there were some people in Block 3 that were giving him a little bit of ag. But he just is a class above what we have at the moment. I know Bradshaw's goal was well taken. But a Fobe is a player who I'd like to see maybe next year. I found out the other week that, yes, he didn't have... it wasn't last year of his contract. He's actually got 1 year left. So do we do the Ryan Woods where we sign one loan for another year? Maybe sign him permanently, or try and see if we can sign him permanent at the end of the season, because I do think it is worth a punt. So well done, Fobe. I know you're a loyal listener, Fobe. You tweet him most weeks under another pseudonym. But keep going, Bennick. You're doing well in Block 3, mate. That's what we all think.
Well, just back after that fantastic 2-1 win for Gary Rowett, Millwall. And that was the most comfortable yet nervy 2-1 I've seen in some time. We were fantastic in the second half. First half, I thought we were really lethargic. I thought, do we actually want to get in the top six? You know, we looked off the pace a little bit. We were a bit passive without the ball. We sort of let Ole play football for a bit, not in the manner that they could, not particularly threatening, but Bart had to make two or three great saves during the game. I think one in the first half, but realistically at half time I just thought we needed to step it up. It reminded me a bit of the Swansea game. And then second half we come out and we have a rocket up our arse and we play how we can. And, you know, we get that goal, okay, massive bit of luck involved. And then the den lifts and the pressure's lifted and the team stops playing with the handbrake on. And we look fantastic going forward, resolute at the back. I didn't think we should have conceded today. That's annoying that we conceded, because we're in a goal difference race now with Sheffield United, who I'm watching defend the corner as I take this. And that's a free kick, surely, ref. That is a fucking disgusting decision. And now they're on the counter as I speak. Anyway, Millwall were fantastic and realistically should have won by more than the odd goal. We had chances near. Burke had a chance. Bury off the bar. Murray Wallace could have scored. Bradshaw put one wide. I thought the goal that he took was absolutely phenomenal. That finish to sort of open his, sort of hit it with instep. From where I was sitting, I haven't seen it again, but it was, you know, he took that really early. And that beat the keeper kind of thing. That's a confident striker, and that's good to see from Tom Bradshaw. But, yes, we roll on. The Rowett Express rolls on, and we all we can do is win our games. I've seen online that I think QPR have got Sheffield United. QPR are 2 points behind us, Sheffield United. The second to last game, the week that we play Peterborough. So it's in our own hands. Go away to Birmingham, win, make the season go on again to the game against Peterborough, and we'll go from there and we'll see what we can do. Because realistically, it's not in our own hands, but we've somehow managed to get there. And I genuinely do believe that whoever finishes sixth has got a massive chance of winning promotion to the Premier League this season. in the playoffs, but or the end of season tournament, as Nick would make us say. But yeah, come on, roll on Saturday. If your nerves can handle it. And I've been waiting 20 odd years since we were in the playoffs in 2001, 2002, in the championship for us to get back there. And that's why we've got to make sure we're there this time. Arrivederci, Millwall.
Dobry Virtual listeners, Jiří Skalák here. Well, 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 the Lions are well and truly roaring still, listeners. We thought we were down, we thought we were out, but we're still in with a chance. I'm actually recording post Sheffield United's 1-1 draw at Bristol City, meaning we are 1 point. That is right, a single point off sixth place with 3 games to play. We've had a little bit of luck, I suppose, with some of the average form of some of the other teams going towards the top six. You know, our defeat against Swansea and draw at Preston should have meant the Lions were out of it, but a good win today means that we are very much back in the mix and have an excellent chance now of actually sneaking in, but we shall see. I thought today's performance, it was a frustrating first half. We've said that a lot about Lions' first half performances, huffing and puffing. You know, they didn't look too dangerous going forward. We stayed in the game. You know, we were almost looking to sort of pounce on any mistake. You know, we weren't really trying to create a lot, which was a little bit frustrating. But as with a lot of performances at home, you know, in the second half of this season, we seemed to come alive in the second half, and we certainly did. One of the strangest goals I think I've ever seen from Scott Malone. Clearance hits into his shin and from outside the box manages to go into the bottom left. Not quite seen a goal like it. But what a second goal that was from Tom Bradshaw, a striker in form, a striker with a lot of confidence. And that was absolutely dispatched well. And we had them on the ropes for most of that second half. It could have been another Barnsley in terms of 3 or 4 goals. But typical Millwall, we let a little sloppy goal in towards the end of the game, and it was a little bit ropey towards the end, but I think we had enough to see the game out and in the end deservedly won. So we head on to Birmingham, who have lost 6-1 today. So I don't know if they're on their holidays, but massive game again. We've just got to keep going and keep working hard. You know, if we can make sixth, I mean, I don't know if I'm optimistic. It's just one of those where it's been so up and down for quite a long period of time. You just don't know, listeners. But the fact that we're still talking about playoffs and the fact that we're closest that we have ever been with 3 games to go has only got to be a good thing. So, you know, credit to the team, still battling away. We've won when it mattered today. Results went our way. But all you can do, listeners, is win your games and see what else happens. So bring on Birmingham on Saturday, another huge match for the Lions. But yeah, enjoyed that one today. And the dream is still alive, listeners. Come on, you Lions.
Not as convincing as the 4-1 win last week over Barnsley, but a win is a win. And at times, Millwall did look very, very good for it this Monday. They're still in with a shout. I don't think a couple of months ago anyone would have thought we'd be this close to the playoffs. 1 point away after Sheffield United's draw with Bristol City. You know, you're looking at the games we've got coming up and you think we should, you know, touch wood, be beating sides below us. I mean, Millwall, that's normally been a thorn in Millwall's side, but the performances against Hull today and like I said, against Barnsley are quite promising, you'd hope. Took a bit of a while to get going. The first half was not a classic by any means, and there's a bit of luck needed for the goal and just before it as well, where we kept Hull out somehow. Bart making another great save. That one might be one of the most important ones he's made in a while, but the post helping out there as well. Really good performances from Bradshaw, I thought, from Bury, from Ballard. I think all the back five played quite well today. Scott Malone wasn't great in the first half, but then to get his goal, you know, that's how it works sometimes, not necessarily having the best game, but you get that bit of luck and you just kind of set the tone. Shame he came off with injury. You worry that that might be him for the season, but then again you look at depth with Murray Wallace moving to wing back and Hutchison coming back in. There's not really too much to worry about there. You'd have thought Jed would be a big miss, We didn't really notice it today. I mean, maybe at times you could do with his quality and you'd rather have him in there than not. Hopefully he's not out for too long as well. But the Rowett train just keeps on rolling on, and, you know, three games to go in the season, the fact that Millwall were still very much in it is a really good testament. I think when we were dropping down into 12th, 13th, and really the season just looked like to be completely petering out, the side have dug so deep, especially with the injuries, to pull them back to this position. You know, whether or not they get top six in the end, I don't think anyone can be unhappy with how this season's gone. But we have three games left, maybe five games left. Let's hope the sides around us can keep dropping points, and let's hope Millwall can keep up these sort of performances. A little bit of consistency and a little bit of quality. And who knows where the season will end. Come on, you Lions.
Hi, Nick. Matt Richards is driving back. Bloody hell. What a loss. 6-7 minutes, eh? Wasn't supposed to be that nervous, was it? I mean, what a great result, though. What a great result. We had to win today. And at half-time, it was looking like it was touch and go. We might have been thinking, oh, we'll sneak a 1-0 then. But, you know, second half, we were looking so comfortable, weren't we, really? We were 2-0 up in no time. And, struggling around. Looking like we were going to score two or three. The keeper making quite a few good saves. Although, I'm not sure how good the saves were, because I don't know if our finishing was that amazing either. Fantastic win. Level 1 points at Sheffield United. Just got to keep winning. That's all we can do. We can't affect anything else. We need other clubs to kind of, you know, slip up. So all we can do is just keep winning, really. You know, who knows what's going to happen now? We need Jeb back, I think. We need to nick a goal or two up at Birmingham. That's not going to be an easy game, because Birmingham, they won't want us to beat them. And then we've got Peter, where we should be at home, but again, it's going to be nervous. And then the last game. And then who knows? But, you know, I can't fault the lads today or the management today. You know, they've done really well. It's been a good season so far. Wherever happens now, it's been a good season, I think, based on our budget and what we've had to go through this year, injury-wise, et cetera, et cetera. Strengthening depth in the squad, blah, blah, blah. But wouldn't it be good to get in the playoffs? Wouldn't it be good? We need it now. Come on, you Lions. Cheers, Nick.
Hi, Nick. John Rankin calling in. After the victory against Hull City today, well, there's an old cliche that football's a game of two halves. And it certainly was a game of two halves today. It was a frustrating first half in the Coldplay Lane end. Very reminiscent of the away visit that we went to against Blackpool, where there seemed to be no connection between the back four and the front players, in that the midfield players weren't coming and showing for the ball. It just seemed to be Millwall playing it around at the back, switching it from side to side, and then hitting long, hopeful balls down the channel. And it left us feeling a bit forlorn at half-time. Then the enigma that is Scott Malone in the second half scored a fluke goal, came over and celebrated at the Coldplay Lane end, and got us all on our feet and going. And it was a different game entirely. The second goal from Tom Bradshaw was absolutely brilliant. And to be honest with you, from where we were, we could have had four or five goals. Typical Millwall style to let in a late goal from Hull. So that had us all nerve-wracked. But we go onward and upward to Birmingham City. There was a lot of talk before the game about the formation. We were all discussing why Jed Wallace wasn't playing. We're hearing it's a groin strain, but we were sadly lacking Jed in that first half because there was nothing creative going forward. Second half, I think Billy Mitchell and George Saville had a great game, and Saville turned up and kind of took that Jed Wallace role a little bit to make his way through. Yeah, and Tyler Bury played ever so well in the second half. Whenever he got the ball, against one, or I noticed there were two defenders on him most of the time, he found a way to snake his way through. Absolutely fantastic, and I hope to see more of him. He'll get better and better. So I think there's a lot of positives in the Millwall team. Billy Mitchell had a great match. Danny McNamara played well. The defence was good. And it really was a really good display from Millwall. It's a tricky formation they're playing. There's been a lot of debate about this 5-2-3 formation. It means that we play very wide and teams come through the middle. And I think so much depends on the defensive midfielders to stop that coming through. So I think we still look weak in the middle of the park. But, you know, we hit quickly and we hit on the counter break. And we look really threatening. So who knows? We're off to Birmingham next week. Let's see what happens. My honest feeling is that if we get into the playoffs, I think we're going to go up to the Premiership. That's how I honestly feel. I think if we do get into these playoffs, we're going to have these teams rattled. So it's a fantastic time to be a Millwall supporter, and it was a great day at the Den. Thanks a lot.
Achtung, Mehlball.
First off, bit of a combination, I think, of the, maybe the pressure on the game, maybe the importance of the game when you see the earlier result. We came out better second half. We created a lot of chances second half. And to score the two goals, I think, was deserved on the performance. Should have probably, at that point, should have gone and made it more. I think that was the frustration. You know, at that point, we looked full of confidence. We looked full of running. We looked full of chances. I think we've had three or four good chances on the back of 2-0. And, of course, when you create a bit of nervousness in the stadium and a bit of nervousness with a performance by conceding a late goal, you know, I had a 5 minutes where I probably wasn't as comfortable as I was for the 20 minutes prior to that.
So that voice you just heard there, listeners, was, of course, our manager, Gary Rowett, the worker of miracles at half-time. And what's that sound I hear off in the distance? It is, of course, the whistle of the Rowett Express, which is now back on the rails. Joining me on the train to who knows where is our show regular, Graham Payne. Well, you're a ticket man on the train, Graham.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Brow Express, mate.
It keeps stopping and starting, but it's back on the track again.
It's one of those trains I used to get on the going to Charing Cross that would sometimes stop at St John's, and you're like, what are we doing here in the middle of Lewisham? No one gets off at St John's. Seventh position after that very nervy win today, Graham. I mean, it's I've been looking at the table ever since I walked out of the Den tonight. It looks a bit odd, I must say. It was a very nervy game today, mate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. When we got 2-0 up, I was sitting there and I thought we'd get the third, but then it didn't happen. And then you get obviously the typical Millwall five minutes plus 5 minutes added on after the goal. But no, I don't know if you just, Sheffield United have drawn, so they're 1 point in front of us.
Oh, right. Okay. So that's live. 1-1. Right. Yeah. At Bristol. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it makes us much difference, because I think they had a slightly better goal difference than us anyway. So I'm going to call that a point in real life. So three games to go now. It's an amazing turnaround of the season, really. And today's game, in some ways, is representative of the season, because you had a bit of everything. You had some fairly unimaginative play, especially in that first half. I was just doing some of the editing for the live stuff that we do, and the number of times I said to myself, the kind of predictable ball over the top that went into the defenders each time, going nowhere. Couple of chances. I think Tyler got through on goal and just couldn't bring the ball under control, having got around the goalkeeper. But nothing hugely imaginative in the first half, Graham. One thing that did stand out, and I think we tend to take Bart for granted, but I mean, that was a hell of a save he made at the start of the second half there. Well, it's still 0-0.
I'm sure it was one in the first half and all that he pulled off. I might be wrong there, but just before we scored, that he pulled off a save there from the guy at the far post. And yeah, I mean, yeah, the amount of saves he pulls off during the season is
incredible. Know, goal saving, you know, I mean, I suppose every save is goal saving if you want, but these are, I suppose it's hackneyed phrase to call it world class level, but I can't think of many goalkeepers that can do that at any level. You know, I mean, the chance at the start of the second half was a point blank shot from a couple of yards out. You know, it wasn't far, and he's got down for it. How he does that, I don't know.
Because he doesn't look the most mobile, but he does get down to these. You know, when he's got the ball at his feet, he doesn't look the greatest. But when there's like a shot stop, he's down and he saves them. I mean, as someone has probably already pointed out, the amount of points he must save us during the season is phenomenal, I think.
And there's a reason he's been player of the season the last couple of years. I think it's due for someone else this year, but he'd still be a contender for me, Graham. I suppose if you're going to be really picky, and we are talking about the highest level, because that's where we aspire to get. So his distribution lets him down. He made a really good save and then put the ball almost threw it straight into touch afterwards in the first half. But you know, you have to take the rough with the smooth. I thought, you know, at the end of the first half, I've noticed a thing at the Den, listeners, and I don't know if you agree with this, Graham, but it seems to be too quick to boo them off. I mean, it wasn't a great half.
Yeah, I don't agree with all that.
No.
You know, if we're not winning, they get booed off.
You know, you can talk in the cold light of day. We should have been better, and we didn't unpick a defence that was not the hardest, but, you know, still they're set up in front of us. But I don't get, I mean, we've heard it increasingly as the season's gone along, like we are, I don't know, who we think we should be, like Chelsea or something. I'm doing, you know, a top-level European side here. Booing off the team at half-time, I think, I can't get my head around it. But the second half, much better. So we went from the sublime to the ridiculous Scott Malone's goal. I mean, I've had to look, I found it on someone put it on Twitter earlier on. I mean, good fortune. I mean, you do need Lady Luck to smile on you sometimes, Graham. And blimey, she had a.
How often do we get that luck? And it was not, you know, we don't get it very often. And I mean, the ball was running away from him. He's gone in for the tackle, wasn't he? And bang, he's gone into the. It's
kind of corner. Come off his shin somehow off the tackle. I'll take that luck any day of the week because we don't get it very often, as you rightly say. I thought Malone. For the last couple of games, I don't think Malone's been at his best. And I'm being
totally
diplomatic.
Agree with that. I saw the game Friday, and even today, I thought he was off. His passes were astray, and I thought maybe that's the, you know, the bit of luck, and he'll kick on. But then, 10 minutes later, he's going. Or was it a bit late? He's gone off, and then I reckon he's pulled his hamstring. So,
I haven't seen any detail on that.
I've seen a little snippet on BBC site. Gary Rowett has said that. He's pulled his hamstring and Jed could be out for the rest of the season. He's got to have a scan on his groin.
Right. I was being a bit cynical about Jed's injury before the game, but I think I think
a few people were online.
I admonish myself really because I think, in fairness to Jed and I think in fairness to Scott Malone, they're both honest players, Graham. I don't think they take a dive. You know, I think especially with the season building to a climax now, you know. They want to be in it.
If the season was done and Jed's going to go, as we all expect, then you could see, there's nothing to play for. You know, I'll take it. But we're right in the mix. Why would they, especially Jed, why would he say, I'm injured? You know, I think there was too much of that before the game today about, he's not playing and all that. But
I don't think that's Jed Wallace's psyche. I don't think that's how he operates. And, you know, if I was a player, I wouldn't look online. I think I'd make a point of not looking online. I know they do, but stuff like that would really give you the hunt when you read it. We've gone from perhaps one of the most fortunate goals we'll see all season, possibly a few seasons with Scott Malone. But then a really nice finish, Graham, by Tom Bradshaw. Yeah. He's that magic thing the goal scoring forward. All he does is score goals. You know, that was a really good finish from a nice flick header. Actually, I think it was Benik Afobe, wasn't it?
It was Afobe.
Ball inside behind the defender. Nice finish.
Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was under, you know, he's had a couple of seasons where he's, you know, he struggled a bit, hasn't he, Tom? But this season, since he's got his place back in the team and he's got on that run, scored a few goals, and yeah, I think now he is back, you know, to his best, I think. And he works quite well with a phobia at times, I feel. I know,
yeah,
you know, he gets a bit of stick again, a phobia, but I would personally keep him because he scored 10 goals in the championship. Bradshaw's got 10 and all today. So, yeah. I mean, when was the last time we had two strikers to score 10 goals in the championship?
You know, you're going back to Morrison and Gregory, aren't you? Which is a few years ago now, you know.
Yeah.
The thing I like about a phobia as well, I mean, there are comments all around, I'm sure, where you sit and where I sit, lazy and you know, kind of slow and all the rest of it. But when he's got an ability to control and take a ball, and I mean, we saw a fantastic bit of skill against Barnsley. Didn't quite see it on that level today, but he takes balls and holds the play very, very well. And there is another level to his play. And we don't get players like that very often, you know.
No, and it was the other one where he ran through in the second half, and then he ran right through and then just kicked the ball just too far in front of him. And that's obviously, you know, what stops him from being, you know, a top class, you know, top Premiership striker, you know?
Yeah. So, speaking entirely from memory, did we not have a chance that kind of clipped the top of the bar at one point?
That was Tyler Bury, Barry Wallace came in at the far post. The Colby saved it. Tyler Bury got to it and then hit the top of the bar. I thought
played well today, especially in the second half. I thought he looked a little bit at sea. You know, he's still a young player, Graham, isn't he? I mean, he's still got a lot to learn. He's still learning his trade.
I did think that before the first goal, I could see two changes. I thought he'd take off Bury and he'd take off either a Phobie or Bradshaw and bring Burke and Ojo.
Yeah.
That's what I saw happening. But obviously, you know, the goal, and then Tyler Bury seemed to, you know, he did kick into life and he got a bit of confidence down that left side. So it was good to see
He plays with confidence, he's a talented boy. And, you know, some nice runs down that left side, and that's what we need to see. As ever, though, Graham, we can't close out a game without having that nervy last 5 minutes down, you know, with a reduced one-goal lead. You know, it just can't be done at Millwall, can it? It's almost in the DNA ever since you and me have been going. You know, it's got to be that way. It can't be done with some ease or comfort. Other teams do it. We don't. We've got to have a nervous 5 minutes of, you know, where you're kind of on the edge of your seat. Or good job I took all my heart tablets, Graham, I'll tell you that much, because you were playing me something chronic.
But you're right. It's just part of our DNA, isn't it? We've got to have that, you know, hanging on.
Seems to be. Leaves us in seventh position, as we've said, which is some achievement. 43 games played, and somehow with other results going our way, and as you say, Sheffield have drawn as we speak, so they're on 66 points now in that magic sixth spot. Millwall just below, 1 point behind. And 5 goals as well, which may or may not make much difference to us. Yeah.
You know, we've got to win every game, I think, left.
Well, there's nowhere else to go with it, Graham, is there? I mean, I think that's... at least it makes the equation quite simple, because we've got to go Birmingham, win. We've got to beat Peterborough. And then we've got to get a result at Bournemouth. I mean, we don't know how other results will go, but from our point of view and our perspective, we need 3 wins. But just to be in this situation, and again, no Jed today, as we've said already. My inclination when we started, even at the end of the first half, was, wow, what a hole he leaves when he's not involved in the side. Yeah. But actually, we did change it in a second. And you know, there was, I think, the likes of Tyler, they may not be a Jed Wallace.
You know, the one we really miss, though, is Mason Bennett. He makes such a difference when he's inside. I think that gets a bit overlooked. You think of that run when we went all in run, he was one of the main stays of it. He come out the side, and we, you know, it's only then when you think about it, Jed, yes, he is the main creator, but we do miss Mason Bennett. Unfortunately, yeah, you've just got no reliability with his fitness. But when he's, you know, on that left-hand side, he's very dynamic and he does give us something, you know, extra that we do miss when he's not there.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've mentioned it loads of times. I don't want to go over it again, but I mean, at the end of the season, we'll see a lot of players at the end of their you know, loans and contracts and so on. It was interesting that we didn't see Ojo today. I thought we might do. No. It was interesting, and I approved actually of the decision to play Bury, who is our player rather than, you know, a loan player, as much as, you know, there's loan players like Dan Ballard, who has been an absolute rock in defence and done really well and shows an intelligence on the ball for me, Graham, that is really, I mean, you can see the boy going a long way in the game. You can see why he's an Arsenal player. He looks the part to me.
I mean, he's impressed me from day one. From the first time I saw him, and you know, you can tell, as you say, he's going to go. I think he'll go a long way in the game. You know,
I believe
whether
so.
We can get him for another season, I don't know. But,
I think a lot will depend on how this season plays. I mean, it's not really predictable, is it? Really, I mean, because you're right. I mean, we've got to win our last three, and it's only going to take one stroke of bad luck. Have we had some good luck today? If we lose one of those three games, we're probably out of the picture. But I just think it's a fantastic achievement by Gary Rowick. He's taken some justified criticism. You know, I was at Peterborough. I don't know if you were there when they were singing his football was shit and all the rest of it. So he's ridden through that. And it must be, from his point of view, to still be in the mix, that's got to be seen as some achievement, I think. Whatever becomes of us now, you know. So well done to him, because, you know, I know at times, I mean, Harry's been critical of the football, but he's been playing with a fairly limited deck of cards, really, isn't he? He's played a hand. I mean, you look at the state of the squad at times. We've had Zach Lovelace and Briscoe, some of the kids on the bench.
But I also agree with when we was on that. You know, that was it. I can't remember how many games. Was it 8 games? I think we were. It was a very limited squad, and it seemed to work better when we were winning.
When
players started to come back, you know, I don't know. He didn't seem to know. You know what he. You know, I'm not saying he didn't know what he was doing, but he seemed to be sport by choice and getting it right. You know, I know today Billy Mitchell played well, but I don't know whether I'd like to see Leonard and Saville given a go, but I suppose he's not going to change that to now, you know, for these 3 games.
I thought so, other than via injury, which we don't want, of course. I think Billy's got some really nice touches on the ball, actually. He showed it a couple of times during the course of the second half more. I suppose you'd naturally call him a defensive midfielder, really, Graham, wouldn't you? But he does show some imagination. I don't think he shoots enough. We need a dangerous midfielder. We need an Alex Ray or that kind of Tim Cahill. I'm dropping names. I'm dropping some big names here, I know, but that's the kind of player that we need. And I mean, even Saville, I suppose he's closer to that in a sense, but he's not really a danger. He don't get a sense of danger when he gets forward. But that's part of what we're going to need to search for, find somehow.
I think it's been said. I mean, I've certainly said it to you on chat, and Ryan Loftus. Midfield has been a problem for me for at least 2 or 3 seasons, the creative side of the midfield. And it's whether we can, you know.
We don't seem to get the whole package. As I said, I'm dropping some big names there, listeners. I do appreciate Alex Ray, Tim Cahill. I mean, you know, aim high, Nick. But I mean, we had what's his name? Ryan, the ginger-headed player. Ryan.
Woods.
who could pass a ball very well, actually. Very intelligent player, but lacked the Millwall spirit and that verve to get forwards. When he did get forwards, he actually looked quite good, but he just never seemed to. So that was an attempt to solve that problem, Graham. But I think you're right. The ability to unlock a defence, which really is how, you know, I'm thinking back to Barnsley the other day, which was finished as a 4-1 win. But the first half, there was nothing to write home about, was it? And so was neither was today, to be honest. But second half, we seemed to come good.
We rely so heavily on Jed. Now,
yeah,
obviously, if by some we go up, you know, getting the playoffs and go up,
act of God,
different. Yeah, he will probably stay then. But then you're talking obviously another level of a player if we're in the Premiership. But if it doesn't work out and Jed goes in the summer, then we really do need to, you know, get this creative side of the game. You know, where are we going to find these players?
We'd have to build a different type of side. I think in some ways we saw a little bit of what we would probably have to aim to be in the second half, which is not one based around Jed's abilities, which we do, you know, we do miss, but equally we've got to replace it with movement, pace and a team approach that isn't solely focused around that one player. But first things first, we've still got 3 games to go in the season. We're now in with a shout, subject to other results, which is the great unknown. Who was your man of the match today, Graham? Would you pick out one from the side?
Yeah, I thought George Savile had a good game. He was in and around it for the whole, you know. And again, I don't think you can fault Ballard and all, you know, at the back. And
Ballard's good to see solid.
Hutch come back into it, and all I thought. You know,
he came straight in. Yeah.
Yeah. And if he's going to play that system, Murray Wallace can fill in for if Malone is now out, you know.
Which it looks like he will be. I thought Hutchinson came back in. You know, you expect a bit of rustiness, but he was hand in glove straight into defence and Murray moved out leftwards, which is good. Ballard, you've named already. Bradshaw, I like his industry.
Yeah, Bradshaw. Yeah.
You know, don't stop running. And we've mentioned Bart Bielkowski because, but for his miracle stage, we probably wouldn't be quite so happy with the day's work. But I think I'd probably go with Ballard myself because I think he looked a real solid defender on a difficult day generally for us. So good win. On to Birmingham on Saturday. Do you fancy us at Birmingham? I suppose it's a toss of a coin each game now, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, I mean. I think they lost again 6 today.
Lebo, Lebo, you're crying his eyes out again. Apparently, he wants to be on the brink.
Yeah, he's always on the brink. Will he be sacked before Saturday? But
it'd be nice if we could get him sacked, if we can put a few goals past him. But
they've let 10 in the last 2, haven't they?
Here come Millwall, you know. Let's see what we can get. Fantastic afternoon. Really appreciate you taking time out of your evening, Monday evening. It's a strange, you don't know which day of the week you're in. It feels like Saturday. No. It's actually a Monday, isn't it? Go back to work tomorrow. Yeah. So I won't keep you any longer, Graham. Really appreciate your time, mate. Thanks for coming on the show.
Cheers, Nick. Enjoy coming on.
We will be back after the Birmingham game. I can't go to. I've got to watch it on iFollow as best I can. But we will be producing a post-Birmingham show. So until the weekend, it's goodbye from me. Goodbye from Graham.
Cheers, Nick.
And arrivederci, Millwall. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci, Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.